I would like to invite you to open your Bible with me to the Epistle to the Hebrews. We will be reading from Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter of Hebrews. We will be reading tonight from verse 7 to verse 17. Tonight we are going to focus on verse 17. But we will read from verse 7 for the sake of context. Hebrews 13, verse 7 to verse 17. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Amen. One of the most difficult things in life is obeying other people. It's very difficult because we want to do the things that we desire and we don't like to be told what to do. We want our will, our desires, our dreams, our plans to be enthroned upon our lives. We want to be kings over our lives and, if possible, also kings over other people. We would rather tell others what to do than be told what we ought to do. And we feel this ever since we are kids, boys and girls. How many times did your parents tell you to do something and you didn't like what they wanted you to do? That happens sometimes, right? Maybe your parents send you to do some chores and you would rather play. Maybe they send you to go to bed and you would like to stay up more. Maybe they want you to eat some vegetables that you don't like. You'd rather eat something else. Now, when I was a kid, many times I didn't like being told what to do. I didn't like what my parents wanted me to do. So I said to myself, I can't wait to grow up, to be an adult, because then no one will tell me what to do, and I'll be able to do whatever I want. Except that's not exactly true. And you can ask your parents if they can always do whatever they want to do. The truth is that in this life, we never get away from being told what to do. When you grow up, you have a job, and there you have a boss who tells you what you should do. And even if you're the boss, as the boss, you still have to obey the laws of the country that were set by the leaders of the country. And our text tonight speaks about obeying an authority under which all Christians find themselves. Whether young boys and girls, or adults who have their own families and jobs, or even retired people. Who is that authority? It is Jesus Christ. In a world of rebellion and a culture of revolution, Christ is our Lord who is leading us through the means he established in the church. And this is what we will learn tonight. Because Christ is leading us and caring for our souls, therefore we are called to obey and submit to those through whom he ministers to us. Because Christ is leading us and caring for our souls, we are called to obey and to submit to those through whom he works in our lives. And we will seek to understand this truth by looking at three things that our text teaches us. First, Christ is leading us to the heavenly city. Second, Christ gave us the blessing of leaders, of ministers and elders who watch over our souls. And third, we are called to obey and submit to the ministers and elders. Let's see first that Christ is leading us to the heavenly city. Now, verse 17 that I said we are going to focus on tonight only asks us to obey the leaders. But from the context, we learn that before we can think about obedience in the church, we need to think about Christ as he's our Savior and our Lord. If we take a close look at our text, if we look at verse 7, and verse 17, we see that they are very similar. Verse 7 calls the people to remember the leaders of the past and follow their example. Verse 17 calls the people to obey the leaders of the present. But in between verses 7 and 17, there seems to be something else. You might think this is strange. Why does the author of Hebrews insert between verse 7 and verse 17 something that seems to be so different? This is something that writers and speakers used to do in the ancient world. Verses 7 and 17 contain two similar exhortations that are arranged in this way so that we would understand them by what's in between them. And in verses 8 through 16, these verses draw our attention to Christ. He is the same always. He gave us an unchanging gospel. He is our sacrifice for sins, and he's our altar of reconciliation. He is inviting us to a pilgrimage, to go outside our world, outside our city, to a city that is to come. And this is an important aspect to remember when we are thinking about obedience in the church. The men ordained to be pastors and elders are not just men who rule, but men who are charged with leading the people of God. Towards what? Where is the people of God going? It is a leading in the context of a pilgrimage. The leaders of the church are described as those who engage in the act of leading in a certain context. And the whole book of Hebrews abounds with images of pilgrimage and walk. That is why we need to take a step back from the call to obey and look at the context to the image of being led by Christ in a pilgrimage towards the heavenly city. Chapter 1 of Hebrews speaks about the Son of God who descended from heaven, came on earth to reveal God and to atone for our sins, and then he ascended above the angels to the right hand of God the Father. Chapter 3 speaks of Christians as having a call from heaven where they go to enter in the holy rest of God. Hebrews 11 speaks about the walk of pilgrimage in the lives of Abraham and the other saints of the Old Testament who were ultimately looking forward to a heavenly city and not just to the earthly promised land. And Hebrews 12 invites us to be thankful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have the promise of a country that cannot be lost, a city that will never be ruined. We are not called to go to Palestine. We are not going to Palestine because we have not been promised an earthly city, an earthly land, but a heavenly home. And now, in Hebrews 13, verses 12 to 13, we are invited to assume a life of pilgrimage, which many times includes suffering. As we are walking through this earth, we are a foreign people. It is not a walk of fame or a walk of glory, but a walk of the cross. We belong to the kingdom of light, but we are surrounded by a kingdom of darkness. And that is why we need Christ to lead us. It's not a walk in the park, but a walk in the wilderness. This is why we need Christ to nurture us, to feed our souls, because we are walking through a spiritual desert. We're walking east of Eden after the fall in a cursed and depraved world that hates God and hates us. Maybe hearing about this call to pilgrimage, you might ask yourself, am I really a pilgrim? If you have a home, if you have a family, if you have a city, a citizenship, a job, if your life seems pretty stable, are you really a pilgrim on the way? At times, we might feel pretty comfortable and at home here on earth. But God works through His Word, by the power of the Spirit, to awaken our souls from spiritual death and from the slavery to sin, that we might realize that we were not created to live in this fallen world, but we were created to enter in the rest of God, into His blessed and everlasting Sabbath. And if Christ were not to lead us and care for us, we would be a scattered flock of scared and anemic sheep. We have spiritual life. We grow spiritually because Christ is our good shepherd and our almighty King. Questions 31 and 32 from the Heidelberg Catechism ask, why is Jesus called Christ, and why are we called Christians? And the answer explains the leadership of Christ, who governs us by His Word and Spirit and defends us and preserves us in the redemption obtained for us, and also that with a free conscience we may fight against sin and the devil in this life and hereafter in eternity reign with Him over all creatures. But how is Christ ministering to us by His Word and Spirit? How is He leading us? This brings us to the second point. Christ is our head who leads us. And second, He gave us the blessing of ministers and elders who watch over our souls. Christ shepherds us through the servants and the means He has appointed for us. The Apostle Paul reminds us this when he says in Romans 10 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is saved. But then he asks, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? The officers of the church are not self-made, power-grabbing, fame-hungry leaders, but they are servants sent by our Savior to bring us the gospel and to watch over our walk in the wilderness. Christ is shepherding us through them. And Hebrews 13, verse 17 mentions two elements of the elders' work. The first element is their duty to watch over our souls. And the second element is their accountability, to give an account, to give an award before God. And these two elements show us that the pastors and elders are serving us, but they are not our servants. They are serving us, but they are accountable to Christ. They are Christ's servants who are delegated by Christ to be administrators of his house, of his church. But how are we to understand this delegation? Is Christ absent? Didn't Christ promise that he will remain with us always until the end of the age? In Ephesians 4, Paul speaks about the giving of leaders in the church. And he quotes Psalm 68, which we prayed together tonight. In Psalm 68, there is this image of a mighty warrior, which ultimately represents Christ. A mighty warrior who conquers his enemies, who rescues his people, and who receives gifts from men. But Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, modifies and adapts the quote from Psalm 68 in light of what Christ has done, in light of the resurrection, of the ascension, and of the Pentecost. In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 8, the Apostle Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says," quote from Psalm 68, "when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." What are these gifts? The Apostle Paul tells us from verse 11. "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes." Christ is the mighty divine warrior who conquered the enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He freed his people from slavery. He ascended on the throne of heaven, not to receive gifts, but to give gifts, sending the apostles to plant churches, and empowering the apostles and elders by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The ministers and elders, as shepherds and teachers, are Christ's gifts to the church. And we need to bear this in mind when we think about obedience in the church. When we are called to obey our leaders, we are called to nothing else than to enjoy the gifts that Christ gave to the church, to benefit from those gifts that Christ gave. It's not about being burdened with commandments, but it's about being protected and cared for. It's not about losing freedom, but about gaining the riches of the grace of Christ. It's Christ himself who shepherds us. It's Christ himself who gives himself to us. He is our shepherd. A shepherd watches over his sheep. He knows their number and their weaknesses. He sees the ones that are lost away from the flock. He cares for each and every one that would get stuck in thorns. He defends the sheep from wolves by sheltering them during the night in a place where they are protected. Christ is our good shepherd. He is not a hired hand. He does not flee when danger comes. He laid down his life for his sheep. And we can rest assured that now, as Christ is resurrected and ascended in glory, as he sits at the right hand of the Father, he continues to care for our souls. He charged the apostles and then the elders to shepherd his sheep, not independently of Christ, but by the presence and power of the Spirit. Being called by Christ, the ministers of word and the elders are devoting their lives to the well-being of the flock. The ministers invest all their life in bringing the word of God to bear in the life of the flock. They are servants of the word, and they know the needs we have, and they feed us from the word of God. And the elders are guarding this ministry of the word and watching over us. That's why our confession in Article 30 summarizes the work of the church through the ministers and elders, reminding us that by these means, by the elders and by the ministers, they preserve the true religion. They see to it that the true doctrine takes its course, that evil men are disciplined in a spiritual way and are restrained, and also that the poor and all the afflicted are helped and comforted according to their need. And this nurture that the scripture speaks about, that our confession speaks about, this nurture is possible only in the covenant community, where we live together, where we fellowship with each other, where we open our lives to each other, and where we live under the care of pastors and elders. Being created in the image of God, we cannot be truly nurtured or cared for in front of a book or in front of a computer screen. God has created us to live in relationships. The book or the computer screen cannot know you. But if you open your mind and your heart to your fellow brothers and sisters, if you sit under the authority of officers of the church, only then you are fed by Christ through the means he has appointed, in the setting he has prepared, both in the public meetings of worship and beyond them as we live life together as a church family. How are we to live as part of this church which is led by Christ through the pastors and elders? Understanding the greater context of the people of God, who is a pilgrim through this world, shepherded by Christ through his servants, we come to consider a third point. We are called to obey and to submit to our leaders. How are we to understand these two exhortations? What attitude should we have towards Christ's servants that oversee his people on earth? We need to be obedient and submissive, but what does this mean? The obedience that we are called to is not an imposed obedience to a tyrannical figure like a dictator, but obedience that results from being won over, from seeing that the elders and the pastors speak to us the word of Christ, seeing them bringing to us biblical words that win us over to obey. After having described the errors of those who try to deceive people into abandoning Christ and turning back to the shadows of the Old Testament, the author of Hebrews exhorts them to obey the ministers of God and not the deceiving wolves, because the ministers of God bring them the word of God. And besides being obedient to the ministers and elders because of the sound doctrine that they bring us, the work of the Spirit convinces us that they bring us the truth that gives life. But besides this, we have a second exhortation, which is to submit ourselves to the leaders, to give way to their authority, to surrender from our sinful rebellion, to have all our thoughts taken captive to the Word of God. And this second exhortation of submitting gets to the heart of the issue. Our disobedience comes from our rebellion. It's not just lack of external conformity in the things that we do that are visible in our actions or our words, but also the hateful and the proud rebellion of our hearts. We were born hating God and hating our neighbors, so our flesh does not find submission something easy to be done. And our modern culture doesn't help either, because our modern culture does not esteem submission to authority. Being obedient today is not really a virtue anymore. Who wants to be led? No, everyone wants to be a leader. When is the last time when you heard about a popular seminar about how to be led, how to be a good, obedient person under authority? No, all the seminars are about how you can be a leader, how you can influence others. But this is not something new. It's not just our modern culture. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve didn't want to obey God, so they attended a seminar organized by the serpent, how to become God by eating from a tree. And the modern displeasure with obedience that we see so much around us, the culture of revolution, is just a symptom of the greater problem, the sinful corruption of our nature. And there is something very ancient about that. That corruption, which we inherited from Adam and Eve, continues to affect us even after we are adopted in the family of God, even after we receive citizenship in the kingdom of Christ. We still have that rebellious nature in us. And that is why it is necessary to ask ourselves, are there any ways in which we are disobedient and rebellious towards those who minister God's word to us? Do we show them respect and honor? Are we eager to hear God's word from them? Do we go to them seeking help, knowing that Christ ministers us through them? Obeying those who teach us the word of God is not a weakness. Submitting to those who were charged by Christ to shepherd our souls is not a liability. It doesn't make us weak, but it strengthens us. By obeying and submitting to those whom Christ sent to lead us, we are encouraging them to do their work with joy, and we are not adding to the burden they have to carry. By obeying and submitting, we are receiving the word of God, who works in us the fruits of the Spirit. Encourage your pastors and your elders. Show them your appreciation. It might not always be easy to obey the leaders, elders, and the pastors. Maybe sometimes you disagree with their advice. We have our opinions and our thoughts and our desires, but we should always remember that our will to do things our own way is just that, our will. But when we hear the word of God preached, when we receive the advice of the elders, though they themselves are sinful and fallible men, Christ uses their words and their advice to lead us. Christ is not far away. Christ has not abandoned us. Christ is not a character from a novel that we study, but he is a living person man and God, who speaks and ministers to us by word and sacrament and through the discipleship work of the elders. Christ is our Lord who leads us and speaks to us. By the work of the Holy Spirit, the leading of pastors and elders, the words of ordained men who prepare sermons and who counsel us are for us the leading, the caring, and the shepherding of Christ Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be our good shepherd. We praise Christ for giving his life to rescue us from the thorns of sin and the valley of darkness. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to empower the ministers and the elders and the deacons so that you might care for us through them. Lord, give us a humble heart so that we would submit to our leaders and grow in godliness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.